very important that each of us focus on God's word when it comes to watching after our family. Now, I want us to learn something today, and I'm going to do some reading on this, but I want you to, you and I need to know exactly what the scripture says. You see, God has a blueprint for the Christian family. Now, God set this blueprint at the beginning of time in order. You and I cannot change God's blueprint. But I do know that we're living in a society, as many other societies, that are attempting to change what constitutes a family. Well, here's the focus. I want you all to understand that, and I try to get this across. It's difficult sometimes. People say, well, it is same-sex marriage. Okay, that's fine. We live in a country that is free right now. It's getting a little testy, but we live in a nation that is free. Here's the problem when you let it in the church. When I preach and I tell you about Christ and the family that he has set up, I'm a Christian telling you about this. The world, that's the least of their problem if they don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. If they don't know Jesus, they might as well shack up with anybody that they want to or do anything else. If they don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, they will never, ever see heaven. So we, so often Christians, stand and are fighting like we're shadowboxing sometimes the world. You are not going to change the world unless you change it one soul at a time. You do that by presenting God's plan. God's plan of salvation, God's plan of life, God's plan for the family. The family home was God's idea. Listen to Genesis 2, verse 18 and verse 24. The Lord said, "It is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife." This is no big secret, folks. The greatest damage ever done to a marriage and to a family is done by the closest relatives. The greatest problems that go on in the families today are problems of ungodly action within the family. Ungodly. I'm not saying that those individuals are not Christian. I'm saying that even though they are Christians, they project the way of the world rather than the biblical way of God. Then people say, well, Brother Larry, Chaplain Vance, whoever I am, can we have a biblical family? No. No, we're in a different society today. Different culture. As a matter of fact, you wouldn't be really up on the biblical type of family. And in saying that, I'll tell you this. Yes, you can have a Christian marriage and a Christian family. In the days of Scripture, in the days that God gave us his word from the Old to the New Testament, he showed us the changes of society. Each time it was God who said, "I'll bless this generation because of what they've done." When that generation was gone, then evil came out. God said, "I will bless from generation to generation." So he says, "I'm the one that has established this. You will leave your father and mother and be united to your wife." Your father and your mother has no input in your marriage and should not. You are this God's plan says go out, procreate, love your family. As they grow up, let them have their family, give them advice, give them help, give them love, but keep your nose out of their business. You do know that he is not getting any lunch today, don't you? Let me read this again on what Ronald Reagan said. We fear that government may be powerful enough to destroy families. We know that it is not powerful enough to replace them. Right? We know that. We are living in a society today, just like Rome was saying, this is what how you're going to conduct your life. And we ourselves are watching our own nation. Oh, we better watch that, though, because best I recall, Rome was destroyed from within. You and I are kept together from within our spirit. It's God. God said, I love you. You're my family. But now, as a family member of God, each one of us are obliged and obligated to God to go in the direction that God leads us. Let me share this with you also, parents. When you ask your child, what would you like to do with your life? Many will tell you they don't have the slightest idea because they haven't had to live life yet. Then you support them in the no idea. Others will say, this is what I want to do with my life. Parents, would you please support them and quit asking them what they want to do and then saying, I don't think you ought to do that. What did you ask them for? Why don't you just write out an order for them? We treat one another, my friends, the way that God has called us to, with respect. Do you know there's no two personalities alike? Yeah, you know that. Do you know that some people like vanilla ice cream, other like chocolate ice cream? They can all be Christians and probably Baptists. God assigned Moses to a job. You ready for this? Number one, take the children of Israel into the promised land. Number two, and build a brand new nation under God. We can better understand it this way. One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. You go out, Moses, and you build a nation of freedom. Take them away from the slavery. Show them what true freedom is all about when I enter their heart. Moses presented God's blueprint. And that blueprint involves three principles. Here they are. I want you to get them. Principle number one. Home is where righteous lives are lived. You know, my whole ministry focused on pretty rough situations as prison chaplain with families. Gosh, all they did was yell at each other. That's when I needed a hearing aid so I could turn it off. But all they had to do was gripe and nag and do this all the time. And I would tell the inmate, you know what your problem is with your children? You're the problem. A parent is a model. Moses begins talking primarily to the parents. You're a model. You might be a good one, you might be a bad one, you might be a pretty one, and you might be an ugly one. But you're going to be a model. Deuteronomy 6, verses 1 and 2. Now, this is the commandment. Have you noticed that God didn't say, okay, I think maybe this will work. God always said, this is the commandment. This is, meaning, this is what will give you command of your family. This is what will give you command of your life. It's the word of God. You and I have no hope of keeping our families together or bringing peace within the family when you leave God out. Why? God created the family. Now this is the commandment, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you. See, Moses never said, here's what I think you ought to do. He was a mouthpiece for God. Remember who wrote the first five books, the Pentateuch, first five books of the Bible? Moses. I see you learned something today, didn't you? Did you know that Moses is the first, I can't help this. Moses is the first name ever mentioned about writing anything. Do you know that? Okay. You didn't care either, did you? Judgments which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you are going over to possess it. He said, I'm getting you prepared. God's going to give you the promised land so that you and your son and your grandson might fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. I don't think there's ever been a generation. Of course, I didn't live in the others, but I don't remember hearing about it. Ever a generation that looks forward to leaving planet Earth. This is a generation of those who love the Lord. And sometimes we cop out. I got a job to do, and you other Christians do too. We yell out, Lord, come quickly. Why? I know that scripture. There's people out there that aren't saved just because your family is. That doesn't mean you quit everybody else. The blueprint for a happy home begins with the parents. You right? You ready? A nation never rises above its homes, and a home never rises above its parents. You want a negative? And many times it is. You want a negative of how the kids grow up, if they and what their family's like because of the family they grew up in? They think that's the way it ought to be? What this means is you and I are a model. Character is not taught to your children. It is caught by your children. When you leave church and you go home and the pastor isn't with you, do you have the pastor for lunch? Do you believe what he said? Or do you have another member, another Christian for lunch? Did you see what she was wearing? Well, she probably looked better in it than you would have. Think of it. God says, I'll give you a family to take care of them. Have you ever found yourself trying to tell somebody else how to raise their own kids? Normally that happens when you've messed up on your own. Deuteronomy 5, verse 29. Oh, that they had such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it may be well with them and with their sons forever. Okay, you want peace in your son's life and in your daughter's life? You teach them God's word. Principle number two, home is where the real Lord is loved. Now, this is a Christian home. Home is where the real Lord is loved. Oh, I believe in a higher power. Yeah, there's a lot of them out there, higher powers. I believe that God is the God of all that exists, and that he sent his one and only Son because he loved us so much. For God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's the message. ought to be the message in the home also. What do you think that your children are going to do in their family when they hear all the great? You come to church on Sunday, you pray, you sing, you shout, you go to home on Monday and leave the Savior out. Is that what happens? Do you really believe that the only thing that you need to do is sit in a pew in a church and that makes you a Christian? I'm safe now. If you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you're not. Be at peace with yourself. Be at peace with your God. Two basic things that parents are to teach their kids about God. You ready? Number one, the reality of God. You know, doesn't it bother you when you hear people say there is no God? It bothers me for them, not that it bothers me personally. It bothers me for them. You know what God calls a person that says there is no God? A fool. The fool has said in his heart there is no God. Where did he say it? In his heart. Number two, how to have a relationship with the real God. Parents, you teach them the reality of God and then how to have a relationship with God. Marriage is to be a mirror. It is to be a mirror of the relationship between Christ and the church. But you know, and it really is. Think of it. How many battles did you fight within a marriage? And then how many battles do you fight with God concerning His Son? How many times do you just storm out on a marriage? And how many times do you storm out on Jesus? Well, He didn't do what I thought He ought to. Yeah, well, nobody's ever going to do that. Listen, wives, if that man is harming you through beatings, through psychological torture, or any of that, let me get the emails flying in to me. I'll tell you right now. You walk right out on that dude. Don't you do that. Well, but the scripture says I've got to be loyal and take the beating. No, it doesn't. That's just dumb. How many times I've dealt with women who have been beaten by their husband, and then you go in and you try to talk to them, and they snuggle up together, and I become the enemy. Think of it. Ephesians 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself up for her. Husbands, you're to stand the ground for your family. Don't you be wimping out. Don't you be some kind of sissy out there that, oh, well, you know, we'll just take it. We'll take it, you know. That's okay. You all just settle down, family. They're right. No. Husbands, will you stand up for your children, please? If your child is at school and that child is called to the principal's office because they mentioned Jesus or the Word of God, fathers, you need to storm that office and let them know you're there. You are their father. We are in a generation that is sick, a world and a government that doesn't care anything about anyone, to the point that any child, any girl can get the morning after pill legally. Now, what a society. Oh, gosh, they could do that in Rome, though. Different way. Many parents don't understand the difference between being church-going parents and God-loving parents. Just because you go to church doesn't make you loving. And just because they're a grouch doesn't mean that they're not loving. It doesn't matter what else you give your children, folks. One thing is for a fact. Doesn't matter how much money you give them, if you have not given to them a real love for Jesus. Doesn't matter. Nothing else matters. Principle number three, this is the final one. Home is where right lessons are learned. People say, yeah, that's where you wallop that kid. I've seen kids that have been walloped. And as a crisis intervention chaplain in those days, I had a desire to wallop the daddy and the mother both for what they call walloping. Right lessons are learned. That's when the child gets ready to reach up and grab a skillet and you slap their hand of correction. And then they know skillet hurt. Skillet pain. That's teaching them. Not coming out with a big belt and using a belt buckle and a cane. My grandfather whipping one of my brothers with a tobacco stick. Do you all know what a tobacco stick even looks like? You know, I keep forgetting who I'm. Think of that. A parent is a mentor. Quit trying to tell the kids that this is what I want you to be. Would you please let God do that? Moses gives parents specific instructions. You ready? Mom, Dad, Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 through 9. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. Little box set there. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Sealed with love is what it is, folks. And I had one parent tell me one time, said, well, that'll never happen then. I'll tell you now. If you're out of your head, do you ever lose your temper and, you know, your parents are just slobbering mad? Don't punish your children when you're that way. One parent said, well, I never punish them then. When you are hog-wallering mad, that's Kentucky. You don't have any sense, right? No sense of judgment, no sense of how hard you're hitting, no sense, period. You just go nuts. Don't touch your child when you're nuts. Calm down. Give it time. God intended for the home to be the university of life. Got that? University of life. Home is where you learn the two most important lessons of life, which are, number one, how to love God. Number two, how to love others. It ought to be a place of love. Parents, listen. I don't care how young your children are. I don't care how old those children are. Those children have got to know that there's always an escape from the world, and that's home. When they walk through that door, they can slam the door behind them and say, peace, I'm home. I'm protected. Never, like so many I've dealt with over the years, that home was the last place that they ever wanted to go. I am a mentor. Parents, God is not an option. God is not an option. Teaching your children values, character, isn't that important? And God's truth. Which, with God's truth, that means good values, great character. Parents, that's a part of your job. And let me tell you this. You know when those children have their case of the stupids and are out there? That's their job. It really is. It's got to be their job. It's got to be somewhere in there, because I've never met a family that didn't have it. Kids get a certain age You parents have just forgotten, or you've covered up that age. You can't, I don't want to remember that far back. Well, your children are going to go through that too. It's an important stage. It is a stage to where you must stop putting them down and you must start lifting them up. You must encourage them. Give them direction. And do not ever put a caveat on something. Do not, don't you do this. I will help you if you do this. Oh, if you'll do this, I'll help you out. Can't we just say, let me help you through your decision making? I'll be here for you to bounce it off of if you have questions. But I will help you. If I give somebody something, I don't put any strings on it. I give it to them because I love them. Because I care. That's what God's done. Larry, I love you anyway. Good, bad, and the ugly. You've had a lot of ugly days in your life, Larry. But I love you. Ephesians 6:4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. Discipline. You be careful, folks. Many times I've told you, when that child walks in your house, that child is protected according to the scripture by angels. And the Bible says that their angels report to God on a daily basis as to how they're being treated. You don't want to be in there. You do not want to be the parent that's standing against the truth of God in a family. Our job as parents is to move the kids through three stages. Here they are. Stage one is parent control. Good gracious, parents. Well, I just can't control my kid. Take a lesson. What do you mean you can't control your kid? Do you just yell at them and then there's never a punishment? Do you say, here's the red line, don't cross it, they step over that red line? Well, you keep going, you'll be a president. Listen to this. Stage number two is self-control. Stage number three is God control. You got that? Parent control, help them in self-control, and then God control. Turn your children over to God when the time comes at birth. Father, thank you for my children. I don't know what I'm doing. That's the way God likes it. But then you got to listen to him. Acts 16, verse 34. The whole family was filled with joy because they had come to believe in God. Remember something. A family begins with God's blueprint. Not yours. Many families are having a hard time because they simply didn't have direction as to how to be parents. And the children had no direction in how to be a loyal child. You know why? You got to start with God. Let me tell you something. I'm going to end my life with God. I started my life. And God says, I'm allowing you to be born. I started it with God. God allowed me to be here. If people who don't like me, you got to talk to God about it. He's the one who allowed me to be here and to continue to be here. So if the last one that I come face to face with is the very one that I was born because of, don't you think common sense tells you serve the Lord with gladness all the days of your life? Parents, we have a big task. But would you quit trying to do it yourself and let God? Would you please stand up for truth? Would you please quit saying, well, look, I've got to let our children do this because everybody else is doing it? We know the answer to that. Every one of us have heard it. Will it jump in the fire? Here's our problem in this generation. They're jumping in the fire. They really are. Our nation is in a mess. Our churches are in a mess. I listened to Huckabee last night. He had just finished up with a talk at the Southern Baptist Convention. And he got in a little trouble there. And the trouble that he got in was this, the basics about the church. He told all those pastors, the reason you're not standing strong in the pulpit about what's going on in our society today is you're afraid of losing your 501c3 exempt status. He said, why don't you just forget it? Why don't you preach the gospel? Who cares whether you have the 501c3 status or not? People who give to God don't give because of that small little write-off they get. They give to God because they love God. Who cares? How can you compromise the truth of God from the pulpit over money? He said a few of them liked him. That tells you where we are in our generation. It's not about parents. It's not about how much money they're going to make. It's about are they going to be at peace working for McDonald's. Frankly, there's a lot of big money there. Can they be at peace no matter where they are? And you can with Jesus. And it don't get better than that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the love that you place in our heart. And Lord, as each of us search our spiritual being, who we really are, we thank you, Father, that you touch us, that you love us, that you have mercy upon us. Help us now that each of us will be the parents that you've called us to be, that we will be stable so that our children can see that stability. We ask a blessing upon each family, upon each parent, as we stand strong in a day that is vile. But we stand strong in your love, and we ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.